Jack Daniel's whiskey and 1.5's is how the folks around here have been living their lives. Waking and baking every morning at 8, make it to work, they're always late. Living by the job, paying their dues. Life in Dixie with these Alabama.
Hey, welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour. Hope everyone is doing well on this Tuesday morning. What's remaining of the morning? Hopefully it was productive. Join us now on the phone line. State Representative for you folks down in the southern part of Mobile County. State Representative Chip Brown is on the line. Representative, how are you this morning?
Hey, I'm doing great, Jeff. Just staying busy. I'm actually working on some debris removal today myself. So,
how did your folks down there fare?
Well, you know, Dolphin Island took a pretty major hit. It's the West End did what it usually does with the flooding and everything. But what was unusual about this storm was normally the East End is the better side of the island to be on, and so just the angle of the storm, the way it came in, it really impacted the east end of the island. The Dolphin Island Sea Lab was really impacted. I lost roofs on a couple of buildings and had some really significant damage. Had quite a bit of damage in Bala Battery and up the bay, and then on up into Grand Bay and Irvington, St. Elmo. A lot of trees down. Of course, you know, Alabama Power, pretty amazing the job that they did. They started off Wednesday morning and had 170,000 people without power in Mobile County, and they finished all of that up on Sunday evening. So that's pretty remarkable. My hat goes off to them. I mean, we're very thankful for the linemen that restored the power. They came from all over the country. I mean, we had 4,000 additional linemen and support personnel come in from across Alabama and 14 states. There were people from Virginia, New Jersey, Tennessee, I mean, as far away as Michigan, that came down to work on our power. And of course, now they've all shifted and gone over to Baldwin County to help those folks over there. But it's a lot of need. I mean, you know, you storms expose the weakness in our insurance laws and our roof programs and that sort of thing. So that's one of the things I'll really be focusing on over this next year or two is looking at our insurance laws, you know, our hurricane premiums and that sort of thing, to make it where it's easier for people in my district and across the southern part of Alabama.
I mean, that continues to be a problem with insurance providers and the raising those rates after every one of these storms. But never really quite figured out the right formula there.
Well, it is tricky. You know, we after Hurricane Ivan, you had so many insurance companies that just stopped writing policies altogether, particularly south of I-10. And I know Alpha, State Farm, USAA, most of your big insurance providers pulled out, at least in wind and hail coverage. And in flood insurance, and they've slowly started coming back and writing policies. But you know, the hurricane deductible is what is killing people. You know, people are realizing, hey, wait a minute, I've got this tree on my house, I've got to get it removed. They call their insurance company, and they realize that they have a hurricane premium. I mean, you know, hurricane deductible. I'm sorry, have a hurricane deductible that is $20,000 or $8,000 or $5,000. And that's really only in this part of the state. We really need to take a look, I think, of you know, I mean, insurance is a risk game. That's what it is, I mean, basically. And it's all on risk and reward. But we don't need to have policies out there that people really can't afford. I mean, what is the real point of having a hurricane deductible that no one can afford to get their homes fixed up? That's how next time we have a major storm, you end up with blue tarps on roofs for years. And I don't want to see that happen. You know, another thing I think we need to really look at is, You know, we have the Strength in Alabama Homes program and fortified roofs. I sponsored and the legislature passed a bill in 2019 that's HB 283 that says that insurance companies, insurance providers, when they offer you a policy, and this is anywhere in Alabama, but when they offer you a policy or when you need to have your roof replaced from storm damage or just from wear and tear, that they have to offer you the opportunity to upgrade to a fortified roof. And fortified roofs are so great because they really reduce your insurance premium, I mean, dramatically. And there's a process that they have to go through with hurricane straps, and it just really is a better roof against wind. And it just, it's what we need in this part of Alabama. And so I really want to have a meeting next week with the Strength Alabama Homes people to see about funding. Those are funded by insurance companies. They do two rounds a year where they fund that, and people are in the pool, and there's a huge backlog. And just want to try to make that easier for people to get fortified roofs, I mean, to protect themselves against storm damage.
Is it just
good for the consumer, and really, ultimately, it's good for the insurance companies as well.
Just a matter of tweaking building codes, is that something within the realm of the legislature's purview?
You know, it is. You can tweak that and look at the universal building codes, and the fortified roof process, though, is an actual process. I mean, you have to. They come out and look. There's someone, they give you a certificate when your fortified roof is done, and you present that to your insurance company, and your rates go down dramatically. I mean, it really does make a huge difference. And it's just a process, whereas a regular roof, if you had storm damage and they went back with a regular roof, there's nothing really requiring the amount of straps and materials, that sort of thing. Just like, you know, on a fortified roof, you have to use the peel and stick, where it's on top of the decking so the water can't get into your home, that sort of thing,
right?
And so it's a process, and I mean, we would need to make that easier for people. The Strength Alabama Homes program is a great program. It's just underfunded, you know. I mean, it just doesn't. What I'd love to see is the possibility of some type of block grant. I know Representative Margie Wilcox and Senator David Sessions and I had a discussion about this a couple of days ago, and you know, we would all love to see that for the coastal counties.
Is on the insurance side of that, though, is there much you can do other than, I mean, is there a regulation, or you say you can't jack up premiums after? I mean, what are the options you have as a member of the legislature?
Well, a lot of that, unfortunately, a lot of our insurance laws are federal laws. So a lot of that would have to come from Congress. But from a state perspective, there are a lot of things that we can do. You know, just like it was 2019, I had a bill that passed that, for the first time, insurance companies weren't, when they were collecting data after storms, there wasn't a separate category for dividing between hurricanes and tornadoes. They were just putting wind events into one category, and there's a big difference. And by studying those, hopefully that could bring premiums down by separating them, because there is a difference between a tropical storm and tropical storm damage versus a tornado and tornado damage. And so there are things that we can do. We can look at, who's writing policies in the state and try to make it where it's more competitive, for one thing, and try to open things up to sell policies across state lines, those sort of things that make it more of a free market approach. And when you do free market approaches to the economics, it tends to open things up to better competition and to having better opportunities to write better policies and that sort of thing.
So
I just think everything's on the table. We just really need to take a look at it.
I mean, is that a phenomenon? You always hear selling insurance across state lines, and people think health insurance. Is that the case with these property insurance programs?
Well, primarily people think think home insurance, but we need to look at who is writing policies in the state. And like I said, you know, it is a good thing that companies are coming back south of I-10 and writing policies, Alpha, USAA, because the more companies that you have, the more opportunities you have to pick and choose better policies for yourself. I know when a few years ago, south of I-10, people were primarily forced to pick between Lloyd's of London or the Wind and Hail Pool. And the Wind and Hail Pool is great. I mean, that's a state program that is insurance companies, you know, pay into it to help people that can't get insurance. And that was a phenomenon that happened after Katrina and Hurricane Ivan. And but it really limited you. You had to pick from choice A, you know. So the more insurance companies that we can get in, then the better possibilities you have for better coverage and for better opportunities on hurricane deductibles. So we need to take a look at that.
Joined by State Representative Chip Brown here on the program. Representative, the governor in town last week, you had an opportunity to see her when she visited Dolphin Island. Well, what did you take away from that trip?
Well, I was grateful that she came down so quickly. That I was really appreciative of that. One of the things I took away was that, I'll tell you, her staff has really done a phenomenal job with working pretty much on a daily basis with us to coordinate what's going on. I mean, there's some life lessons that you learn from every event like this that you want to move forward. I think we need to look at, creating a database, in particular for charitable organizations, to make it easier for people to contact those organizations, know who they are, where they are. Mobile County EMA has done a phenomenal job of keeping, you know, everyone abreast of what's going on with the storm and working with FEMA on the storm cleanup, and Alabama Power did a great job. I think we do need, on the charitable side, though, if just as an average person, if you had storm damage and you need someone to help you try to come clean up your trees, let's say, to get out of your driveway, who do you call? I mean, who is that person that you call? Those charitable groups are down here, but it's just making that information out there. So one of the things I would like to see, and I brought this up to the governor, is for future events like this, I do think there needs to be someone that's really coordinating that and getting information out to the public of what charitable organizations are down here. I know you can call 211, which is the United Way number, and that's someone who is doing some coordination with charitable groups. And I've had some of my constituents call me that had issues, particularly elderly people, couldn't get trees off a house, that sort of thing. And, they called that number, and different charitable groups, different churches came out and helped them with their trees and that sort of thing.
Yeah, if there was like a clearinghouse, because the other thing I guess people are worried about is like what's reputable and what's not when it comes to charities helping you out, or what charities that you want to help out.
Well, and that's true, and you really have to watch out too for people coming in from out of state, in particular, that aren't licensed, that aren't, you know, don't have any insurance, that sort of thing, and potentially or have the possibility to rip you off. The matter of fact, the day after the storm, I had several trees down at my house, and they blocked my driveway, and had quite a bit of tree damage, and I had two cards taped to my gate that were both from Texas, two companies from Texas that were here, you know, waiting the next day to do tree damage. Well, that doesn't make them to do tree removal, but that doesn't make them bad people. But storms open up that opportunity for people to come in and that are trying to take advantage of people. And so I do think we need some type of clearinghouse. We need to look at our price gouging laws. And, I know Representative Matt Simpson had a bill last session that that it passed the House 97-2 during the 2020 session, then it was cut short. But it deals with contractors working without a license, you know, during a declared state of emergency. So I really support that bill. I appreciate Representative Simpson taking that up. It's an important issue.
Yeah, sounds like he's going to get take another shot at it here, be it a special session or next year's regular session, I think.
Yeah, I would think that we'll see. You know, next February is going to be pretty interesting because you're going to have all of the bills that came very close. You know, I had the Anaya's Law, which is the criminal bond reform bill. That passed unanimously out of the House and unanimously out of the Senate Judiciary and was supposed to be on the floor of the Senate that next Thursday, which would change our criminal bond statutes. And we didn't get to vote on it. The session ended due to the coronavirus before we could vote on it. And there's just a lot of those that are right there that didn't pass. And so you'll see all of those bills. You'll see bills dealing with rioting and police reform, and you'll see all of that combined with all of the storm related bills. So it's going to be, in my opinion, possibly the most active session of the legislature we may have ever seen.
I think you're right, Representative. Well, we're out of time here, but thank you for making time for us this morning.
Always, Jeff. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it, and I hope you have a good rest of the week.
Yeah, we'll do it again real soon. That was State Representative Chip Brown here on the program. We're going to get one more break in. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.